The Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Rithm. Commerce faces rising costs, unpredictable customers, and the rapid rise of AI. But a new Rithm survey shows the bigger risk isn't tariffs or inflation, it's internal drag. Slow processes and messy data are holding brands and retailers back. See how they're tackling it and why speed and agility will be the real edge in 2026. Download it at rithm.com/ready. That's RITHUM.com/ready. It's November 24th, 2025. And this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, Walmart plans a CEO transition, Commerce Operations Foundation critical to our common agentic future, Intuit's announcement makes it clear, OpenAI coming for operating systems, Walmart earnings call important for everyone to understand, and finally, the Investor Minute, which contains five items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. But first, with our shopping cart full of news, Walmart plans a CEO transition. With a merchant and operational focus, John Furner has been named as incoming CEO that has a storied Walmart history, which is both similar and different to his previous boss, Doug McMillon, who has been the CEO of Walmart for the past 12 years, quite a period of growth and change. Doug spent more time in Walmart International and took big, bold risks on e-commerce, acquiring Jet to disrupt itself, giving Mark Lurie broad authority to experiment until he didn't. With detailed knowledge of mostly U.S. operations, John Furner is perhaps more in place to optimize and grow the portfolio than taking big new risky bets, which, at this stage, may be quite appropriate. Here are some thoughts based on publicly available information. I don't expect them to stray too far from their core. They're going to keep leaning into digital transformation and AI, that focus McMillon pioneered. They're also continuing to lean into digital services profit growth. Of course, we know that John Furner had one of the largest hands in building these new businesses as leader of US in the past 6 years. He is known as a no-nonsense operator. It's worth noting that Furner does not have the same broad international background that McMillon did. Furner spent 3 years leading merchandising and marketing for Walmart China, whereas McMillon spent 5 years running all of Walmart International. It could say something. Expect the company to lean considerably harder into AI-driven transformation. Expect the company to continue to stay true to the Walmart formula. Make the business more efficient, give the gains back to customers, and repeat. In fact, you might say it's almost certain that Furner could continue to make Walmart one of the most efficient and customer-centric retailers in the world. What's not known yet, however, is will we see opportunities to take big risky bets and in what areas? One thing about Walmart, it's not known for these kind of moonshot projects like Google and Amazon have been typically known for. Think about Amazon like AWS, Zoox autonomous vehicles, and the Fire Phone. The smart money expects that not to change much on Furner's watch. Our second story. Commerce Operations Foundation critical to our common agentic future. I wanted to be one of the first people to congratulate Kelly Gage on the launch of the Order Network Exchange specification, spinning up yet another industry coalition, the Commerce Operations Foundation, and setting a path to evolve the specs and collaboration into the future. What problem does it solve, in my view? In short, every time an agent wants to interact with orders, it shouldn't have to do it differently than any other agent that has ever been invented, capturing and modifying orders, returns, and exchanges, and more. Commerce is an ecosystem more than most industries. Many are surprised exactly how connected and dependent seemingly disparate companies are to each other. Collaboration is essential. But back to ONX, or the Order Network Exchange. Who cares, right? After all, to build a spec is nothing. Even a spec built on MCP, famous operating system pioneer Andrew Tannenbaum, who wrote the canon on operating systems back in the day, once said, "The great thing about standards is that there are so many of them." In short, standards are nothing without trust. And the trust of the industry is something that Kelly has in spades. Trust builds coalitions, standards bodies and open collaboration. It's happening again, and we're all witnessing it. Where could it go? To me, this is just the raw plumbing of it. The vision could be much more expansive from here. Nothing short of a universal order bus is in our collective future. After all, there needs to be an agent-to-agent version of this spec, and we're going to see it being built. Our third story. Intuit's announcement makes it clear, OpenAI coming for operating systems. Apps were previously the domain of operating systems running on computers. Macromedia made a brief play for Flash to become an app framework, but was eventually shut down by Apple, famously by Steve Jobs. Before that, Gmail and Google Maps showed us that web pages could almost be as powerful as desktop apps and more accessible. For consumers, the big three in operating systems for apps in this day are really Microsoft, Google, and Apple. OpenAI is attempting to supplant them by becoming a new ecosystem for apps. Ultimately, OpenAI isn't just coming for one company. Its ambition has set the course for coming at everyone. Google is a clear threat because OpenAI could take search share. But Apple and Microsoft could be threatened not only from OpenAI's AI prowess, but also from its forays into applications. If Google Search is slowly supplanted by OpenAI for helping customer-type tasks, then it could set up a virtuous cycle. The more apps make OpenAI versions of themselves, the more useful it is to consumers. And the more useful it is to consumers, the more apps build versions of themselves for OpenAI. It's through this lens that I analyze Intuit's $100 million deal with OpenAI, which certainly gets your attention. It's easy to be cynical, but such types of deals of these numbers are rare. The kind of approach will frankly not cut out SaaS itself, but it could shift the new balance of power that SaaS lives within for some. Many new kinds of apps could find a cozy home inside ChatGPT itself rather than building their own custom app. Many apps could choose both paths. Would I want my financial data accessible by ChatGPT? Maybe. Frankly, I already use it for a lot of spreadsheet and accounting tasks. I've been building business forecasting tools for the past few weeks already. Better tooling from Intuit into ChatGPT could just accelerate this. I've mentioned the word super app here before, which I know rubs some people the wrong way because the analog isn't really to how China has built their unique ecosystem. It's more really akin to an operating system or virtual operating environment, which becomes a host for any number of apps in the future. And while it won't be for everyone, at least now, if adoption continues on a hockey stick, it's not likely that many people will be able to avoid it, which to me means fragmentation in the short and medium term. You might still have a native SaaS app, but if you're not building the latest hooks for your app into ChatGPT or building it entirely natively there, it could be like a brand not being on Amazon in the future. Sure, it's possible, but for who is it wise? You may not think it's possible or wise for this to happen yet, but this is where this is all headed from OpenAI's point of view. And our last story. Walmart's earnings call is important for everyone to understand. Just a TLDR here, what do you need to know? E-commerce is the growth engine for Walmart. Global e-commerce was up 27%, with Walmart US at 28% and every segment growing above 20%, powered by store-fulfilled delivery, marketplace, and advertising. Operating income is growing faster than sales, which is itself growing faster than inventory. Second, ads and membership is the profit engine. Walmart spoke for a long time in the past about transforming its P&L. Well, it's transformed. Now fully 33% of its adjusted operating income is from ads and membership and growing. Predictive agentic also makes an appearance. From OpenAI-powered shopping through ChatGPT to predictive auto-built baskets in Chile and heavy supply chain automation, Walmart is quietly building a very tech-forward retail machine. In short, Walmart is no longer just a retailer. And what are the importance of Walmart earnings anyway? Personally, I think it's predictive for the rest of us. Why do I listen to earnings call at all? While backward-looking by definition, I also feel that earnings are predictive of the future. The giants have to report earnings. Everyone else does not. We can learn from what's happening with the giants, and it gives us clues to our own business and the kinds of things we should or should not be investing in. Okay, let's dive in. E-commerce itself is a 27% growth powerhouse. Here are a few facts. Walmart U.S. e-commerce sales were up 28%, and this is a 7th consecutive quarter above 20% growth. Pickup, delivery, and advertising are a key strength. From my take here, Walmart describes a choice between value and convenience as a false choice. The reason is because of efficiency. You can invest a lot, but if you aren't efficient, you can't actually cut prices enough to deliver value. Walmart has several margin-expanding revenue streams that they didn't used to have, memberships and advertising. This allows them the ability to invest in convenience, which is paying off in their fastest-growing consumer cohort, higher-income customers. Agentic AI is a highlight. Has predictive agentic commerce arrived? One killer callout on the call was Walmart Chile, and e-commerce has created this feature, which is now fully driving 20% of e-commerce sales in the country. Here's how it works. Walmart predicts your orders and patterns, what you buy, and how often. They send you a WhatsApp text with a pre-built cart that you can then modify and order. OpenAI partnership also gets a mention. Phase one is to be able to purchase Walmart and Sam's products directly through ChatGPT with checkout only. It will be more immersive and integrated in the future. The company is also rolling out OpenAI certifications and ChatGPT enterprise licenses across the company. As far as AI code assistant, more than 40% of code produced at Walmart is either AI generated or AI assisted. This is a surprising number to me. In terms of general management commentary, the company is building a more personalized and relevant experience and describes it as multimodal, voice, text, image, video, and more conversational. Ads are present, but contextual and helpful. Bundles are mentioned as a way to do that. As far as Walmart US, the facts say that comp sales are up 4.5% and e-commerce is up 28%. 35% of digital orders are now delivered in under 3 hours. There are 7,400 active rollbacks, half in grocery, and over 2,000 rollbacks this year have become the new everyday low price. Walmart Plus grew double digits, and Q3 net adds were the strongest on record. Fashion, home, and automotive were standout categories. My take on this is sometimes strength or weakness in a month can signal issues, but Walmart's performance was very consistent across month. On the marketplace side, their sales were up 17%, and automotive, toys, electronics, and apparel were growing greater than 40% year over year. And while marketplace got some callouts in the call, it did not seem to be the focus of the call, and there were no mention of Walmart fulfillment services either. On the advertising front, wow. 53% growth. Global advertising is up by that amount. Walmart Connect in the US outside of Vizio grew 33%. And 34% growth in international advertising led by Flipkart. In terms of my thoughts, 53% is a killer number and great progress for the organization. This is the fastest number I've seen from any retailer in their ads network. On the supply chain side, I think this is Walmart's quiet killer. Walmart US now has 35% of store-fulfilled orders expedited to under 3 hours. And sales using expedited fulfillment are up 70% this year. 60% of stores are receiving at least some fulfillment center freight from automated distribution centers. And more than 50% of e-commerce fulfillment center volume is now automated. One of the fastest growing channels is deliveries completed in under an hour. That's something to watch. The company has received triple-digit growth from curbside pickup at Sam's Club after reducing their basket minimums. My thoughts on supply chain is that expedited fulfillment is one of the key drivers of Walmart's margin improvement. Not only is this delivery network getting more efficient and denser, but customers are funding those margin gains, which is a win-win. And while Amazon is performing, Walmart is putting serious pressure on Amazon on multiple fronts. As far as an update on the consumer and tariffs, value still wins. Inflation is reported to be steady at 1.3%, with food and general merchandise up, and Walmart is resisting pressure on cost of goods sold. Overall, tariffs have had less impact on the business than expected. Walmart described the consumer environment as dynamic with pockets of moderation, and primarily the disparity in wage growth in lower income groups is the biggest factor here. However, all income levels are participating in faster delivered choices. My thoughts on this is that Walmart doesn't seem to be worried overall about the consumer. Performance is consistent, and the combination of value, which is appealing to everyone, and convenience, which is targeted at higher income groups, is driving growth. And I thought the note on tariffs was interesting. It's notable that their exposure to China is less than others. On the forward-looking guidance side, the company has full-year sales guidance raised from 3.75% to 4.75% to, the new number is 4.8% to 5.1% for full-year sales comparable growth. Full-year adjusted operating income should come in between 4.8% and 5.5%, with Q4 falling between 8% to 11%, likely on the strength of advertising. The company is predicting a great Q4, which they say is generally indicated by the back-to-school performance. With the amount of historical data Walmart has, combined with their recent momentum, I would listen to this. As far as odds and ends and a wrap, Q3 revenue is up 6% to $10 billion. Ads and membership are now 33% of consolidated adjusted operating income, and year-to-date operating cash flow is at $27 billion, up $4.5 billion compared to last year. Inventory levels are up 3% overall, and in the U.S., the inventory grew 2.6%. Internationally, net sales are up 17%, and adjusted operating income is also up 17%. International e-commerce is up 26%, including Flipkart and Big Billions Day, which is the biggest ever so far. At the peak of Big Billions Day on Flipkart, there are 700 orders per second, and $1 billion in sales delivered on the first day. In China, it's interesting stats because China is the most digitally oriented culture in the world, probably next to Korea. 33% of the business outside the United States is digital. In China, it's 50% digital business. 80% of orders in China arrive in under 1 hour. Let me repeat that. In China, from Walmart, 80% of orders in China arrive in under 1 hour. They're more advanced in digital retail than anywhere else. There are now 60 Sam's Clubs in China with a big pipeline beyond this. On the category front across the company, there are a few items that were mentioned as standouts on the call. Apparel grew 5% each month of the quarter. Fashion, home, hardlines, and automotive were strong performers. Grocery gained share and general merchandise grew. Health and wellness was up low double digits. As far as a wrap, as I read through their earnings report, I think Walmart's international omnichannel exposure gives it a unique advantage from its competition. Being able to see consumer shifts and run experience in various markets is essential to their success, but it would all be for nothing if they were not so damn good at execution. Walmart leadership mentioned on the call that they feel they are setting a new standard for omnichannel retail. I would tend to agree. The biggest worry for analysts on the call was, are you investing too much of the profit back in the business? Which, from where I sit, seems to be paying returns. It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have 5 items on the menu today. First, Barnes & Noble is acquiring Bookstore and keeping them independent. Barnes & Noble announced that it's planned to acquire Books Incorporated, a longtime Bay Area retail bookseller, for $3.25 million out of bankruptcy. They plan to keep the legacy bookshop as an independent entity with 7 neighborhood locations and 2 stores operated at San Francisco International Airport. Second, Third & Grove acquires Elva. Boston-based agency Third & Grove has acquired Elva, a Shopify Platinum partner, for an undisclosed price. Congrats to 2 friends of the program on this transaction. Third, Figure AI raises Series C funding towards humanoid robot development. Figure, a robotics company developing AI-powered humanoid robots, has announced that it's surpassed $1 billion in committed capital following its Series C round, bringing its post-money valuation to $39 billion. The funding will be used to expand production manufacturing, build GPU infrastructure, and launch advanced data collection. Fourth, FIA PHIA raises $8 million seed round. FIA, a fashion platform for secondhand clothing, has raised $8 million in seed funding. The AI startup searches the web to help consumers find secondhand clothing through an app and a browser extension. And finally, General Atlantic Partners invests in OSEA Malibu. OSEA Malibu, a pioneer in seaweed-infused skin care and body care, has received an undisclosed growth investment from General Atlantic Partners. CAVU Consumer Partners, which invested in OSEA in 2021, is exiting as part of the transaction. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. To hear new episodes of the show every Monday morning, subscribe now at rmwcommerce.com/WatsonWeekly and wherever you get your podcasts.